Welcome to Mouthing Off with Olivia.
Hey guys, it's Olivia Caridi from The Bachelor, the girl with probably the biggest mouth you've ever seen. But now I'm using my huge mouth to talk really smart things with my favorite reality stars, influencers, YouTubers, you name it. They're gonna mouth off too.
Damn.
This is Mouthing Off with Olivia.
Okay, everybody. Cam.
Fresh wounds.
Always Be Cam is here. Got a lot of questions about the ABC. How you doing?
Doing all right.
Are you heartbroken?
I'm disappointed. You know, like your parents said, I'm not mad, I'm just disappointed.
Yeah.
I'm just disappointed.
Disappointed in yourself, in the process, in what?
The process.
Okay.
You know, I really was myself the whole time, and, you know, I don't think that that was necessarily portrayed in the most accurate way.
Okay. We'll get into that.
Okay.
We have a lot of Facebook questions for you, so we're going to just get right to it.
Thank God
okay?
You're not on Twitter. Oh, man.
How's Twitter doing? Yeah, I mean, if you need any advice on how to handle trolls, let me know.
Honestly, I had to have a Twitter 101, like, or 101 tutorial from one of my buddies because I haven't tweeted since 2012. I don't get the platform. Like, yeah. I get the general, like, hey, you tweet, you retweet, all stuff. It's too overwhelming for me.
And your Instagram is surprisingly devoid of shirtless pics.
That's which just not me. That's
I actually
me.
Respect that. So yeah. Keep that up,
okay.
Probably.
Keep the shirt on.
Well, when you go to Paradise, you'll have a lot of shirtless pics. Don't evade the question. Everyone evades the Paradise question.
What's Paradise?
Exactly. Yeah. I knew you were going to do that. Okay, so let's go. A lot of people want to know who you are. You know, before all the craziness, Morgan Erickson said, one of my friends went to school with him. Ask him what he was like in high school and college and what his dating life was like pre-show.
All right. Well, we'll start in high school because no one gives a shit about elementary or junior high.
Yeah,
right?
Let's go back to elementary,
yeah.
Preschool.
Actually, really quick, I have a funny story about elementary. I was in first grade.
Okay.
And my first kiss was two girls at the same time.
Was it Spin the Bottle or something?
No, we were watching Muppet Treasure Island. I'll never forget. We were in the theater and my mom was like five rows back and I had two different girls there with me, one on each side, and I will never forget, they both pecked me on the cheek at the same time.
Oh, okay. That's not a kiss.
Okay,
I was like, did you just invite them in for like,
no,
how do you have that much game?
That was like first grade. So, but okay. You know, that's where it all started. But
okay.
Fast forward to high school. I had an older sister. She was a senior when I was a freshman. And she was like homecoming queen. Like I wasn't Cam Ayala. I was Kara Ayala's little brother.
Yeah.
And like all of the athletes would give me shit about, you know, wanting to hook up with my sister. Mm-hmm. So that kind of pissed me off that I was always kind of living in her shadow.
Mm.
But it was also kind of an advantage too, because like having an older sister, you kind of learn how to talk to women. And it actually kind of didn't play to my favor in high school because I was friend zoned with every girl that I had a crush on, because I would be the shoulder that they cried on when one of the guys, like the quarterback of the football team, would treat him like shit or, you know, wouldn't ask him to prom. So, you know, I was really good at talking to women, but I was really good at listening, and that did not serve me well in high school. I got friend zoned by pretty much every girl that I wanted to date in high school.
And you're not from Austin.
No, I'm from a very small town, Houston, Texas. Humble
never
beginnings.
Heard of it.
Yeah,
never
heard of it. Yeah, okay. No, I'm from Houston.
Okay.
But you know, I claim Austin as home, and we'll probably get into that later
on. Yeah, we will. Yeah. Yes. So high school was not your game. So usually in that case, college, you just fly.
You know, so freshman year of college, I played basketball at this like small private Christian school in Abilene, Texas.
I know someone who went there.
Yeah. I mean,
What's it called again?
I went to Hardin-Simmons University, but they had two other schools. They had Abilene Christian and McMurray. So it was three like Christian schools in this college town, and it was dry town too. So that meant like there was no liquor
stores.
Your
college was too?
My college town was dry. Yeah.
Wow.
So, and some of the colleges had a curfew and you had to go to chapel, and it was so not my scene, you know, no offense to those who like go to these private Christian schools. It just wasn't my thing. And just the physical demands of being a college athlete was just wearing and tearing on my knees. So I was like, screw it. Want to get like an actual fun college experience. So I transferred to College Station, went to Texas A&M. Any
Someone
Aggies
wrote, I don't have a question, but gig'em.
Oh yeah.
Woo, is gig'em. That where you met James Taylor?
James Taylor also went to A&M, and we actually met at summer school there, and we were in the same communication class. And we were definitely the two class clowns. Okay. And our teacher, her name was Miss Loveless. So we're kind of forming this little band where we tour, and we're called Loveless. And it's kind of ironic because we're both without love currently. So, you know, Loveless.
Not for long. So your dating life, you mentioned kind of romance a little bit when you're told your story that went wrong, which we will talk about. But did you have serious relationships?
So I had one serious girlfriend senior year of college. Okay. And when I graduated, you know, she actually moved in with me. I lived in Fort Worth. I had a great job out there.
You know, I went to TCU.
I did not know that.
I love Fort Worth.
Horned Frogs.
I was a Horned Frog.
Horned Frogs, yeah.
There you go.
And I loved Fort Worth. It was a great town.
Such a great town.
Like, my best friends from college were also in oil and gas, so they moved out there too. So we had a solid squad, and we just lived it up in Fort Worth. But when I first moved out there, I was dating a girl who was a little late to graduate, and she was still kind of figuring her life out. And, you know, didn't know what she wanted to do when she grew up. Mm-hmm. So I was like kind of the supporter, and we even had a dog together, and yeah, a little Cocker Spaniel. But at the end of the day, like, we just knew that we weren't going to get married. Okay. And we just kind of called it quits there. And that was like my first serious relationship. We dated for over a year. First time I dropped an L-bomb on a girl. Yeah. Had the dog, all that stuff.
I will always remember my first L-bomb. It was the best.
Yeah. Especially when they reciprocate.
There's nothing better. Oh, it's
and
the best.
Not say thank you or all.
So you had one serious relationship.
Yeah, in college.
Okay.
And then out of college, I was just having fun in Fort Worth, trying to figure out, you know, how my career path was going to go.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just had fun. I was single. Didn't do any of the dating apps because back in our day, like, Olivia, we didn't have the dating apps.
I'm still trying to, like, get used to them.
Zoosk was one of them, I think. Do you remember that? Zoosk?
No.
I don't even think that's
around. I wish I remembered, like, my first interaction with a dating app. But that back in the day, like, college was so great because you're just like, yo,
college,
we're partying.
App,
like,
you know?
Let's make out and then we'll
right
go to dinner next week.
Right swiping and left swiping when you're at the bars.
Like, I miss college. Can we go back?
Yeah. So I was just enjoying being single. I'm not going to say I was a fuck boy because I was very respectful to, you know, any of the girls that, you know, was just kind of casually dating. But I let them know right out of the gate that I wasn't looking for anything serious.
Did you ghost?
No, I think things just like organically fizzled out. I don't think there was like a certain situation where I just straight up like never called or texted a girl back. I think it was just kind of like understood.
You spoke about leaving your job for the show. So what was this job?
So I worked for a really highly reputable software company in Austin called Tableau.
Mm-hmm.
Won't get into the details. It's data visualization. I know that's probably a big passion of yours, Olivia.
Sleep.
Yeah, exactly. but it was, you know, great benefits, great pay. And I really had to push my comfort zones to get that job because I was in advertising for 6.5 years before transitioning into software sales. So had to kind of beef up my knowledge on kind of the nerdy tech side, but you can't live in Austin, Texas and not work for a tech company. Super original, right?
In hindsight, leaving your job, was it worth it?
Totally worth it.
Really?
You know, I'm the type of guy like high risk, high reward, and it was a high risk, but I think the reward that I've already kind of experienced and I know I hopefully will experience down the road is going to make it all worth it.
Have you gotten a new job since filming wrapped?
I have. I'm now officially the ambassador for a nonprofit that I'm working with called LEARN.
Mm-hmm.
It stands for Lymphatic Education and Research Network.
Mm-hmm.
And from the first week that I got sent home, they reached out to me and started working on a partnership, and now I'm actually really close friends with Academy Award winning actress Kathy Bates.
What?
So yeah, and she is like the funniest, most down to earth lady ever. Like,
okay.
I thought I was gonna be super starstruck when I had dinner with her in Dallas for the first time, but like, she just has this warm, welcoming vibe, like almost like her character, Joe Bennett in The Office.
Right.
Remember when she had like the two Great Danes? Like, that's how she is in real life.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love when I feel like they're not acting.
No,
that's the best.
She is an amazing person.
Well, hey, exciting.
Yeah.
Obviously, there were a few girls that were being talked about for Bachelorette. Did you want it to be Hannah B or did you want someone else?
No, I didn't want it to be Hannah B. Not that I wasn't like attracted to her or anything, but I was definitely more drawn towards Kaylin.
Okay.
You know, I've always kind of been attracted to dark hair girls with the lighter eyes.
She's a cutie.
But beyond her beauty, I was just really drawn to her story. Not the sexual assault part. I mean, like, that's, you know, I feel really bad for anyone who has to go through that. Mm-hmm. But the biggest thing, and this was something that was kind of subtle, this was like episode two, she told Colton that when she was a little girl that she had a rare disease and was basically only given a 10% chance to walk mm-hmm. again. And I've heard that same conversation from doctors in regards to my health and that health scare, and it really does shape you into the person that you are today. So I felt like that's something that we could, I don't want to say bond over, but we have that in common. And I think that's something that, you know, is a conversation that I would maybe have someday.
How did you get cast on the show?
So I wasn't the type that was like a big, you know, Bachelor Nation fan. I'd seen like a couple episodes here and there with like, you know, my mom and sister or girlfriends. Mm-hmm. But I had a friend who was a producer for a completely different show, and she kind of knew all the people that were producers on Bachelor and Bachelorette. And she had just moved to Austin from California. So we went out for a happy hour, and she kind of just threw the idea out there. And I guess, you know, I had enough cocktails. I mean, like, yeah, let's
sure,
do it.
Yeah.
Let's do it. I'm going to win. And she sent an email, and literally the next day I got a call from that LA area code. And I'm like, oh boy, here we go.
So you didn't have to do the traditional casting where you're in a room of 400 people.
No.
I kind of got to
pass the line, but I still had to do an audition tape, which I had a lot of fun putting that together. Kind of shot it really raw with my iPhone. And it was for my friend's like 30th birthday weekend.
Okay.
And we had this awesome lake house in Lake Travis, but it was super rainy, so we just kind of did like an indoor montage of
you know, all those questions. I noticed that.
I do boat a lot. Yeah, my roommate has a boat, and it's like super close to Lake Austin, so we're out there.
Are you having trouble fitting a trip to the gym into your schedule? Maybe try bringing the gym to you with OpenFit. OpenFit takes the complexity out of losing weight. It's a brand new, super simple streaming service that allows you to work out from the comfort of your living room whenever you want. The classes are led by the most effective trainers in the world, including my favorite, Andrea Rogers. She founded Extend Bar. These trainers give you results quickly. All you have to do is press play and work out on your schedule. There's even an option if all you have is 10 minutes, 600 seconds with trainer Devin Wiggins, and you will burn fat and muscle in no time. You can view on your computer, web-enabled TV, tablet, smartphone, or Roku, and you could lose up to 15 pounds in the first 30 days. I promise you will look and feel great. So change the way you work out and join me on my fitness journey with the code Olivia. That's the code Olivia, and start using OpenFit today. Right now during the OpenFit 30-day challenge, my listeners get a special extended 30-day free trial membership to OpenFit. You could lose up to 15 pounds in 30 days when you text Olivia to 303030. That's full access to OpenFit, including all the workouts and nutrition information, totally free. Do this right now. Text Olivia to 303030.
So we want to talk a little bit about the After the Final Rose. April Wolverton says, does he think that getting the first rose changed the way he approached the season?
Yeah, great question. Honestly, I think me and the other four guys that were out there were super shocked and surprised that she wanted to give out a rose that night.
Yeah.
And when she said that, like honestly, I didn't think it was going to be me, because I originally wanted to just like recite a poem to her and just keep it lighthearted. But, you know, they're like, no, she's more upbeat and energetic. Like, do a rap.
Oh, God.
And I'm like, shit, like this is, you know, probably one of the most nerve-wracking performances, if you will, of my life.
Because it's a performance,
it was in front of a live studio audience on live television, and there was like no room for error. Like you had to one take Drake it and just fucking knock it out the park. So I kind of stumbled over a few lines, and like especially doing it a cappella, it was just, it felt awkward to me, but I mean, she was into it.
It was enough. To get the rose.
It was enough to get the rose, so.
Follow-up question. Did that fact that you got that rose make you maybe a little bit cocky going into the first night?
I wouldn't say cocky. I would definitely say confident, because I knew that, well, even if night one didn't go super well, I'm already moving into the
mansion.
Still okay. I'm already okay.
Yeah.
And that's never happened in Bachelor history that someone had a rose going into the mansion.
Although there is always a chance that she could pull it. Let's be real.
You know, that actually never dawned on me.
Yeah.
I felt I was going to play it relatively safe. And so the other thing too, like I knew that that put a huge target on my back with the guys, like coming out of the gate, already a rose in the house. So, no one was super malicious, you know, towards me.
Who on the first night made you competitively a little bit nervous?
I'd say Luke P. The reason I say Luke P is he just kind of had this natural confidence and swagger, typical of most shorter guys.
How short is he?
Definitely under 6 foot.
So maybe 5'10"?
I wouldn't give him that much credit.
How tall is Hannah?
5'6".
Okay.
She wears heels a lot. Yeah, average height. You know, not super tall, not super short. But Luke just kind of had this demeanor about him that just, you know, reeked of the guy who is correcting your form in the gym or the teammate who, you know, wants to stay at practice a little bit longer than he should. I didn't very jive with him from the
get-go. But you were also like, oh, she likes him.
Yeah, because at that point, you know, I didn't know what her type was in a guy. I mean, I know that she was still is religious, and you know, he had a huge cross around his neck. I thought that was a little showy, but yeah.
But I didn't. I wish
kiss
I had
was
seen.
Cringeworthy. I mean, I got a kiss on night one too, but like he was really going after it.
It was a face eating competition, which if that's what you're into, then that's great.
Asked for permission too.
You
which
did.
You did. I've gotten some, you know, feedback on that. Like, oh,
like
you should have just gone for it. Like a real man just goes for it. I'm like, no, like, like consent is always key. And
is
you
key.
Know, because it was so early on, I didn't know if that was something that she was ready for. Cause I actually remember her saying on Colton's season that she'd only kissed like 5 guys before Colton. Whether or not that's true, I don't know. But like, if that was indeed true, I didn't want to be the guy coming out the gate.
The sixth one.
Yeah, I didn't want to be the lucky number six.
Forcing it on her.
Yeah, I didn't want to force it on her. And I, you know, I basically told her, I was like, look, when I actually really do like a girl and I'm attracted, I'm not going to make the move on the first night because I want to have kind of something to look forward to.
Kayla Weber has a good question. Is he normally that bold in real life with relationships, or did he put more emphasis on being bold since Hannah mentioned that that was something she wanted in a man?
You know, what I've learned from past relationships, not just my recent one with Hannah, but, you know, I think most women, and again, this is a sweeping generalization, so I'm not saying all women think this way, but the women that I have dated, they like an assertive man, one that's going to, you know, make the decisions, not all the decisions, but like kind of like Noah in the Notebook, like, what do you want?
I would
you know,
agree with
type
you.
Of thing. Yep. And, you know, when I've been passive in past relationships, it's never worked out well for me. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to be assertive. I'm going to be bold in my mind and, you know, do something that I felt compelled to do in the moment. I really did try to live in the moment, as cliche as that may sound.
So in the context of a relationship, whether it's with Hannah or with anyone, what is your definition of being bold?
Bold is acting with conviction and like following your heart, regardless of how it's going to be perceived.
Okay.
Like it was kind of like, I'm going to do this bold gesture and I really hope Hannah likes it, because if she doesn't, it could go very bad for me. I think she liked it initially.
So did you feel chemistry with her?
So one thing that will always stand out to me is when I first got out of the limo and like started like doing the ridiculous rap, which we can talk about that later if you want.
No, we'll talk about it now.
she like kind of threw up her arms and yelled, yes. Like she was like excited to see me. And like, that was like the first moment, which was like the second moment ever with her. But like the first moment, I'm like, okay, she actually really is into me.
Okay.
And, you know, I wanted to give it my all and, you know, see how she, you know, reacted to it, see if there was the chemistry there, but not to be too forced.
Aaron Kaiser said, at what age did you start rapping?
I started like just kind of fun rapping in high school. I grew up in Houston and I went to a very diverse public school in Houston. So they would do Freestyle Fridays and I would always be like the only white guy in there, just kind of like, mixing it up with him. I think Malibu's Most Wanted was a very popular movie then with Jamie Kennedy. So I was my own little B-rad. The limo rap, I actually had a rap prepared that I was practicing in the hotel room for like hours, like getting ready for the big entrance. There was a lot of references to like my appearance on After the Final Rose and like being excited about the journey and like all these things that like were Hannah things, right? And I mean, you know, Olivia, when you're in that limo and you're going down that driveway for the first time, like
oh
it's when
God.
It all, this is like, oh shit, it's
it
happening
you.
Now. It's, and you know, I did theater a little bit in high school and I've done other public speaking and I've, you know, being in sales, you can't really get stage fright, but I just remember being so freaking nervous. And literally once I opened up the door to the limo, I fucking forgot all of the lyrics
you
to the
black
rap.
Out.
I blacked out.
Yeah,
I really
everyone
did.
Everyone does.
And that,
but you didn't forget.
It was, no, that was legitimately freestyle off the top of the head. Like, I'm not even joking. I wish I had the sheet of paper. I gave it to Hannah. I was like, I actually even told her that in the first one-on-one conversation. I was like, I was so nervous. Like, this is the rap I was going to say to you. So what you heard, if you even like remember.
Which one was better? Probably the freestyle was better.
You know, I wish they like had an instrumental, some music, not just me like awkwardly a cappella walking up to her.
They would never allow that.
I know.
Never.
But yeah, no, that truly was a freestyle rap. So, you know, love it or hate it. It was me.
You talk about liking Kaylin, but maybe Hannah G is the one for you. There is a chance.
Oh yeah.
Kayla Harcom said, do you always talk in the third person?
Oh my God. Cam never talks in the third person. No, that's honestly the one thing that all my friends gave me the most shit about. Like, dude, we've never heard you say this whole always be Cam thing. Like, where did that come from?
So where did it come from?
So being in sales, there's an old movie with Alec Baldwin where his like famous line in the sales movie was like, ABC, always be closing, like closing the sale. And since I was in sales, like that's one of the things me and my boss always joked about, but I never like constructed it to say always be Cam. And in one of my Inside the Mansion interviews, like one of the producers like, so what's like your strategy for this? I'm like, I'm just going to be myself. I'm always going to be myself. And I was like, you know, it's simple, ABC, I'm just going to always be Cam. And
it was over.
At that point it was over. Cause then like at the end of every interview, like, and what do we say? And I like kind of thought it was like a cheesy tagline. I didn't think it was going to be.
So you said that multiple times.
Oh yeah. I mean, you can, if you watch it back, I mean, I was wearing different outfits. It's not like I just said it one time and they looped it in. I said it several times. I kind of like became the persona, but man, looking back, I'm like, oh man.
Oh heavens. Who was your best friend in the house?
Best friend in the house by far was John Paul Jones. He was hilarious and like actually a very intelligent guy. So he actually used the software that I used to sell. And so we would just geek out for hours talking about different data visualization things. And what I like best about John Paul Jones is he's one of those types of guys, like if you give him a compliment, instead of just saying thank you, he's going to sit and like compliment you back. And we would like criticize him, like, dude, John Paul Jones, like just take a compliment and be done. You don't have to be the one upper.
Called him John Paul Jones.
Oh yeah. And then, you know, eventually we would JPJ it a little bit, but it was at least John Paul Jones or JPJ. I hope that America falls in love with John Paul Jones like I did, because he was actually like the first guy who came to my side when Lil Jonathan interrupted me and Hannah's conversation, because I was like legitimately fuming and heated, and he just like wanted to calm me down and talk about it. But you know, he is like a legitimate sweet guy, and what you see is like actually him to a T.
I hate to say this because your intro is great, but his intro was by far my absolute favorite.
Oh yeah.
He said, my name is John Paul Jones. My friends call me John Paul Jones. Just deadpan. She was
and
like,
you can call me John Paul Jones.
She was like, okay.
So, you know, what I kind of thought that was, I thought that was maybe a head nod to Forrest Gump because he was from Alabama. And so I thought maybe, oh, Hannah knows like Forrest Gump. He's like a Alabama hero. So maybe because he said, my name's Forrest Gump. People call me Forrest Gump. You can call me Forrest Gump.
But he's so elusive that even if he was joking, you would never know if he's actually joking or not.
Yeah, but he was like one of those guys who is hilarious but doesn't know that he's hilarious. And I think people mostly laugh at him, not with him.
Can you give us any insight into why Tyler G left? Because I'm sure Chris came in and gave you a little talk.
He didn't. Yeah, no, Chris didn't come in. It was actually a shock for all of us because, you know, he had gotten the first one-on-one date and got a rose from that. And I actually really liked him. He was a pretty smart guy. I think he's like studying psychology. So I'm like, okay, if someone's studying psychology, they're going to do really well in this environment because they understand the human
psyche and people and
all that stuff. And it was, I believe, the second week and it was the second group date and I wasn't on the second one. And we were just all kind of hanging out in the mansion by the pool, you know, average Tuesday or Wednesday. I don't even know what day it was. And
no one does.
All of a sudden, you know, some producers call us in and they're like, we had to ask Tyler to leave. We felt it was in his best interest and Hannah's best interest. And they are being super vague with us, like truly vague with us. And obviously like all the guys were looking around like, oh shit, what did he do? What did he say? What dirt like surfaced to warrant them removing him? Cause I'd seen a couple of the episodes and I'd never heard of someone leaving so abruptly like that, kind of without explanation.
You saw him wake up in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
he was by the pool with us. And then all of a sudden he was gone.
But no one saw
No one saw him leave. We thought he was either just taking a nap or doing an In the Mansion interview. Like, it was just so random. Like, no one got to say goodbye or nothing.
But he didn't have his bags packed, so he had to pack his bags.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess they did it in a manner that was so, like, stealth. And he obviously didn't cause a scene when he left, because no one knew that he left until we were told. And so, like, I still haven't talked to him since everything's ended. And, you know, you can read things on the internet. I don't know if they're true or not, but, you know, that was all we were told, and Hannah didn't even really talk about it with us. We just kind of like, all right, one less dude, let's move on.
Well, here's what he has said publicly.
What Tyler has said?
Yes.
Okay. How recent
was
this?
He said last week.
Okay.
He said in a recent interview that he left because he didn't feel a connection with Hannah. What did he say after he came back from the one-on-one?
Actually, he and I had a conversation, and it was kind of along the lines of, like, he was actually the first one to tell me that Hannah was looking for a bold and non-passive man. And, you know, he said he had a great time, and, like, who wouldn't want to roll around in the mud with an Alabama girl on some ATVs? Like, that's very, very Southern. And that was really it. He didn't really give too much context about, like, their connection.
So
I mean, obviously he got the rose.
So into her.
He didn't say that, but I mean, he got the rose and always, like, spoke highly of her, never said anything bad about her. So if that was his statement, I'm kind of surprised by that.
That's what he said.
Yeah.
We want to talk a little bit about Luke P. As you're watching the show live, which I'm sure you are,
yep.
Do you think he's getting an accurate portrayal from living in the house with him?
Yes, 100%. And I think there's this, you know, common misconception, villains. I think you were considered a villain.
Yes,
I was
definitely
at some point considered a villain, that you get this bad edit, but, like, the cockiness that we're seeing portrayed by Luke P is actually how he was, and probably how he is in real life. I mean, it's real life on the show. I mean, he does things that he wants to do and says things that he wants to say. And hearing his, like, In the Mansion interviews, like, describing himself as, like, the perfect man for Hannah, and watching his intro, like, you know, college, the girls thought I was pretty good looking and I found God in the shower. You know, it's like, well, what were you doing in the shower? Were you cleaning off, like, the gunk from your little one night stand, and all of a sudden you had to come to Jesus?
Clearly.
Yeah. I don't know. I just, in general, have a problem with people who kind of use their faith and their religion as, like, a band-aid.
Yeah.
You know, to say, hey, you know, I screwed up, but I have forgiveness, but now I'm going to judge you, type thing. You know, I'm not going to get into, like, the whole religious talk, because, you know, I respect everyone and their backgrounds, but, like, yeah. I just had a problem with him kind of putting on this holy boy facade, but then acting the way in which he did, because to me that was just hypocritical.
You know, most people, even if they don't get along in the house, they all follow each other after filming has stopped or whatever. It ain't that way with him.
No, I don't, honestly, I can't, like, truly think of a single guy from my season that is, like, still in communication or would even want to talk to him. I just have nothing in common with him, so I have no reason to stay in touch with him. So wish him well, but
bye-bye.
no desire to keep tabs on him.
Rebecca Huerta said, how does he feel about the edit he got? Is he embarrassed?
Again, not embarrassed, but just kind of disappointed. You know, I think I had some great conversations with Hannah that was maybe taken out of context, or, you know, certain guys in the house didn't appreciate my boldness. So when you have a majority of people not really, you know, team Cam, it's easy for, you know, the show to want to portray you in a certain light. But I mean, you know, at the end of the day, like, this is what I signed up for. You never know how it's going to go. And I was myself, and, you know, I only care about the opinions of those people who I actually care about. So the trolls out there, like, you're just making me laugh. You're not hurting my feelings.
Amen. Let's talk about a couple of things that you did that might've pissed people off. Your little cheers.
Oh man. Yeah.
Was that your idea? How'd you think that
would go over? That was 100% my idea. And, like, looking back at it now, it's like, oh shit.
Fuck.
Like, I mean, we've all done things we regret, like, you know, frosted tip highlights in the early 2000s.
Of course.
You know, I was a huge Sugar Ray fan.
Yeah.
Actually still am. No regrets there. But doing the whole, like, cheers to my future best friend, Hannah Ayala, it was so awkward because at that point she didn't even know my last name.
No. She go, who?
So she looked
no
puzzled.
One knows anyone's last name.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not like there was another Cam or Cameron on there where they needed to use the last, or the letter of the last name.
Right.
So yeah, it was awkward, like, truly awkward, but hey, YOLO.
Okay, there's number one. Then we've got the chicken nuggets.
Oh, man.
What's the deal with the chicken nuggets?
Yeah, so night one in the mansion, when I was having my like one-on-one conversation with Hannah, I wanted to convey to her, I was like, look, you've only seen this like kind of stupid rapping version of me, and that's mm-hmm. like not even me at all. I kind of consider myself to be an onion with a lot of layers, not mm-hmm. to, you know, act too much like Shrek.
Yes.
If you've seen that yes. donkey. So I was like, it's actually coincidental because I hate onions. And she's like, oh, you must have been a picky eater growing up. And I said, absolutely. She's like, did you get raised on chicken nuggets? I'm like, 100%. And that's true. My parents caved into my picky eating habits. And from there, we like just randomly was like talking about your favorite dipping sauce.
Yeah.
And at that point in time, I'd actually never even tried honey mustard. So when I asked her to accept this honey mustard, that was like legit my
first time
ever tried.
That was another question.
Yeah, she popped my honey mustard cherry.
Honey cherry.
My honey cherry, yeah.
Does she like chicken nuggets?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, what non-vegan person doesn't like chicken nuggets?
Just like even on the last episode, you know, all the food on the table, there was just a plate of chicken nuggets.
Yeah, I think, you know, after that whole thing transpired, you know, because Kevin and I were on that same group date. I think they wanted to keep pushing the envelope with the nuggets and see if they could get some more screen time out of it. But even Jed took it upon himself to throw the chicken nuggets and make a little ceremony out
of
it.
It's just become like a really big deal. We also have to ask about the 2-on-1 chicken nugget hang. Yeah. That you said that was your idea.
It was totally my idea. And it was one of those like spur of the moment instinctual judgment calls, because you know mm-hmm. earlier in the evening when the cocktail party started, Hannah was very emotional. She was crying, just mm-hmm. felt kind of overwhelmed, and I was pretty close with Kevin and had some good conversations with him, and I did, you know, feel bad for, you know, interrupting the group date where he didn't get any time to chat with her. So I just wanted to be lighthearted and inclusive, because that's just kind of how I am. When my friends are having a bad day, I'm like, hey, let's get everyone together. We'll, you know, watch a movie or, you know, go to the bar or whatever would make them feel better. Mm-hmm. And so I just wanted to do something like that. But to Hannah's point, you know, this is her journey and it's her experience, and she wants to feel like she's the only person and the only girl in the room anytime you get time with her. So that was definitely a lapse of judgment. But I mean, it was still me being me. I'm an inclusive person. So
ABC.
It was just, yeah.
And then the most important thing was showing up on the group date.
Honestly, like I was there for about 7-8 days in the mansion without leaving at all. Mm-hmm. And you know, Olivia, as you know, when you don't have your phone or they don't even have TV or radio, you get a little stir crazy.
Yeah.
And one of my love languages is words of affirmation and quality mm-hmm. time. And those were two things that I didn't have with Hannah. So I kind of sought that out to get that affirmation.
Okay.
And, you know, I said I was going to do something bold, and, you know, the producers allowed it and they arranged for it to happen. And honestly, like I didn't go in there with the intentions of like sucking up all the guy's time, because my conversation with her was like maybe 2 minutes long. It was really brief. And mm-hmm. one thing I'm proud to say, every conversation that I did have with Hannah, not once did I talk about any of the other guys, because mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm not going to waste my time talking about other people. That never works out well for other people in the past.
Had you not showed up, do you think everyone would have gotten the same amount of time that they did, even if you had?
No, and that just kind of comes with the territory. I mean, you do have to be somewhat assertive and aggressive and even kind of creative. And it's funny, they were calling me calculated, but it's like, if you think about it, when you have minimal time mm-hmm. and you have a lot to talk about, you do have to kind of strategize what you want to talk about in those moments.
Yep.
So yeah, I was calculated, but I wouldn't be calculated because there's things that I wanted to talk to her about. So
with her, you had your moment and you were like, I want to talk to her about something. And then Jonathan comes in mm-hmm. and basically like forces you to leave.
Yeah.
First of all, was that moment as heated as we saw? Cause I was like,
it was,
she was like in the middle of it.
It really was.
Because, it was really weird.
You know, honestly, I think I may have said this earlier, but like, Jonathan, like looking at him, he literally looked like a different person coming in hot like that. It didn't seem like he was there to barge in so he could have some one-on-one time with Hannah. It looked like he was there just to get me to get out.
He totally was.
100%.
Because I think he knew that they didn't have a connection.
Yeah, and you could just kind of see the shit-eating grin on his face whenever he did get to chat with Hannah. And he was like, I'm doing great. Like, I feel really
great. Well, then
the
conversation was, how are you? I'm good.
Yeah.
How are you?
So, yeah, so I feel like he may not have had anything of substance to talk about at that point in time. And, you know, I was pretty heated, so I stormed out and and my my soulmate John Paul Jones came to the rescue. And
the funniest thing for me in that moment was you had this kind of, if you didn't watch the show, you might not get this reference, but someone who has watched the show forever, you had a Kelsey Poe and Ashley I moment. I don't know if you've seen the moment where Kelsey is just staring.
Is that in the desert?
Yes.
Okay, I think
staring
I've seen
clips
of that.
Blankly mm-hmm. at Ashley for what seems like 5 minutes, yeah. Which is what you, did you stare at him for like 10 minutes like we thought you did?
I think in real time, it was a solid like 3 minutes. Like picture like listening to a song, but in dead silence and just staring at someone. I wanted to get a reaction out of him. Like I wanted to be like, dude, the ball's on you.
Because he was just ignoring you.
He was just ignoring me. And you finally be like, look, I was like, hey, you got something to say? I'm like, nope. And I'm like, honestly, like, I'm just fascinated. I didn't think you had it in you. Like, that was a real moment. And I was shocked. And of course, I'm not going to get physical with someone on the show, especially someone that's like 2 times smaller than me.
I didn't realize he was short until like the rose ceremony.
Yeah,
where it
I think he was like eye level with Hannah.
Yeah.
But I mean, he's a cool dude. He's funny. He's just
so you guys don't hate each other.
I don't hate him. I don't really hate anyone except Luke P.
Let's talk about your conversation mm-hmm. with Hannah about your story. Mm-hmm. Did you feel like this was a conversation I desperately need to have?
You know, having gone through 2 rose ceremonies, it really starts to sink in like, oh shit, like there's feelings mm-hmm. that could start mm-hmm. to form here and she could see me as her future, you know, husband. Mm-hmm. So I'm always a pretty transparent person. So yeah. The reason why I wanted to have that conversation with Hannah when I did was out of like, it may not have came off this way, but out of respect for the other guys, because like I didn't want to waste their time mm-hmm. if I'm here and, you know, I wasn't transparent with Hannah and, you know, down the road I told her and she couldn't have handled it. So I'd rather be like upfront mm-hmm. proactively. And, you know, the other reason too is like, I know that she's a Bama girl and I was under the assumption that there would probably be a group date in the near future where they're playing like football or something, you know, mm-hmm. very physically demanding, kind of like the roller derby date that I wasn't on.
Yeah.
And to me, I think it would have sent more manipulative and calculated if I got picked for one of those dates and I got
and
there
and said,
oh, hey, Hannah, I need to talk to you. By yeah. the way, I can't do this because of my blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So I really told her out of transparency. And one of the things I told her, I said, look, like if we're taking this serious mm-hmm. and it's going to be us at the end of this and we're going, you know, to the altar and we're exchanging, you know, wedding vows of in yeah. sickness and in health. Like I need to know that you actually believe that because I had 2 past relationships where, you know, it was just too much for my girlfriends to handle. And, mm-hmm. and I get that. It's tough when you have someone that you love, like going through surgeries and, you know, the post-op of, you know, recovering, being on pain medication, you're just not yourself.
Yeah.
And so because I didn't know like the future of my health, I had to be transparent with her, but unfortunately it got twisted that I was looking for a pity rose.
Well, Amanda Nelson said, why did you think Hannah might send him home because of the condition that made him almost lose his leg?
A couple of thoughts that were going through my mind is that, you know, she would have appreciated my transparency and vulnerability, but, you know, I know some people like to have a very active lifestyle. They mm-hmm. like to go on these, you know, extravagant hikes and rock climb and do all of these things that I just won't be able to do for quite some time, if even mm-hmm. at all. And to me, it felt like more respectful to be transparent with her about something because yeah. I would be a little bit shocked if, you know, I was dating a girl and, you know, 2 weeks in, she said, oh, by the way, I have X condition. Not that I would judge him for that, yeah. but it's like, you know, I get it. You want to say it when you feel comfortable to say it. So at that point in time, I felt that it was necessary to let her know before our relationship progressed any further.
Let's first talk about the contents of the conversation. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, not to get super medical or super technical or super, you know,
yeah.
drawn out, but long story short, I was diagnosed with lymphedema when I was about 12 years old. Mm-hmm. And, that's basically, it's a disease that there's no cure for.
Okay.
And it's predominantly, seen in women who've had breast cancer and had their lymph nodes removed. So the fact that I'm a relatively young male who hasn't had cancer, it's pretty rare, but lymphedema in general affects over 24 million Americans alone, which is more Jeez. Than ALS, Parkinson's, and AIDS combined. But because it's so understudied mm-hmm. and not understood by the medical community at large, people often get misdiagnosed and they have issues like I did. The whole amputation thing, so in 2014, that's when I started having these random infections in my knee.
What does that mean for someone who doesn't know? Like, what kind of infection?
Yeah, so the infection itself was pretty basic. It was strep. So I'm sure you've had strep throat before, yeah. But the streptococcus, that's the medical term, streptococcus, the bacteria has a bunch of different strands, like okay. A through G, like strep A, B, C, D, A, et cetera. And each of them are different in their level of severity. I had group B strep, which okay. is only common in pregnant women. So again, I continue Jeez. To be this medical anomaly. And really all these infectious disease doctors couldn't figure out why I was getting this and why it was in my knee. And, you know, when I had an episode, you know, when you get strep throat, you kind of feel the sore throat. But for me, I was running like a 102 degree fever mm-hmm. and it felt like someone was taking a hacksaw to my knee because literally Jeez. The bacteria was eating away the joint and the bone. So every time that happened, I'm like, oh shit, I know that I need to go to the emergency room right away and they would right. have to do emergency surgery. That happened 7 times in 4 years. So that resulted in 13 different knee surgeries that just kind of sporadically came because the doctors weren't giving me the right antibiotic. They weren't completely, you know, cleansing the knee and they just didn't wow. know how to eradicate the infection. And the only, you know, consensus that these top doctors yeah. could come to is like, hey, we need to do an amputation. And I literally had the amputation surgery scheduled. And 2 weeks before I was supposed to get that surgery,
That's crazy.
I had Boston Children's Hospital contact me and said, hey, we finally reviewed your medical records. We'd like to see you. And so I canceled the amputation. I'm like, all right, this is
the last stone unturned.
I'm not going to, you know, do something irreversible yeah. like an amputation without getting these final like Harvard Medical School doctors to right. look at me. So they did an exploratory surgery and they identified that the issue just wasn't in my knee, it was in my abdominal region. And bottom line, if I would have gotten the amputation, it wouldn't have fixed the issue and it probably would have killed me because the wound wouldn't have been able to heal given the environment of the infection. So
holy shit.
Yeah. 2 weeks away from having a pretty drastic life-changing experience. So, again, it wasn't to like evoke pity on her. Cause again, you know, I think pity is a sign of weakness. I just wanted to let her know, hey, this is what I've been through. This has shaped me into the man that mm-hmm. I am today. And my strength is different than Luke's strength, than Tyler's C strength. Like those are CrossFitter college athletes, strong guys. But I'm yeah. like, I'm mentally strong and I've been through a lot. And you say you need a strong man.
Yeah.
I need a strong woman too.
Yeah.
And so I just wanted to see how she reacted and would respond to that.
So in real time, how did she react?
She handled it so well. I mean, she was shocked that I had two past relationships where, you know, they didn't work out, part and partial because of that condition. But she even shared some, you know, personal stories with me about her childhood. I won't go into that right yeah. now, but it was a bonding moment. And I felt like I addressed the elephant in the room and I quickly changed the conversation to something more lighthearted. And I was like on cloud nine. I'm like, okay, like we can actually build this relationship now that I've like talked about my thing.
I get it.
Yeah.
How long was the conversation?
In real time, it was about...
I mean, obviously we don't know time.
Yeah, I would say 8 to 10 minutes. And that was actually the longest duration of time I had with her to like one-on-one like conversate about real things other than, you know, chicken nuggets and college football.
There's probably, like everyone says, that there was probably a better time to say that. I just feel like if you're only getting 2 minutes at a time, yeah, it's people, really difficult.
People don't understand like how much of a valuable commodity time is in this environment. And you don't know if you're guaranteed tomorrow. So I think there was something that Hannah was saying, oh, this was his Hail Mary attempt. Like, no, I didn't get to tell you that night at the cocktail party.
Because Jonathan
interrupted and was like, if this relationship's going to advance any further, like you need to know now. type of thing. Not that I was looking for a pity rose because I don't want to date anyone who pities me. Like that's so unattractive.
So you never said the word
never pity once came rose. Out of my mouth at all to any of the guys or to Hannah or to a producer. I never mentioned that. I just think that's the biggest load of bullshit why anyone would want to be pitied by someone that they're trying to be with.
So why do you think Mike did that?
You know, I had, you know, like I alluded to earlier, you know, when I had interrupted the group date, I told the guys that there are no rules in this thing. You're here at free will. You don't have to do anything or everything the producers tell you to do. But just know that whatever you do, there's going to be consequences or you're going to have to answer to people for it.
Right.
So, you know, I think in that moment, Mike may have thought that he was protecting Hannah. But at the same time, though, it just felt more like a malicious attack on me. Because as I was saying earlier, when I did have one-on-one time with Hannah, I didn't talk about any of the other guys. Like I wasn't going to waste my breath doing that.
How is this even a thing? Probably.
Yeah. And it, you know, it never works out well for guys who waste their time with the lead talking about other people. just asked David from his situation with Jordan Kimmel.
I mean, that's also really just a bummer that you had an opportunity to share a lot about lymphedema. And
I mean, honestly, like it kind of perpetuates the reality of lymphedema being misunderstood in general. So It does give me more ammunition, if you will, to, you know, when I am having these public appearances and these, you know, keynote engagements, which I have scheduled coming up, like I can talk to, like, I'm not mad at Hannah for not understanding the severity of lymphedema because the general public doesn't understand the severity of lymphedema. So
true.
Honestly, I just see it as an opportunity to build on, not to dwell on.
Let's talk about the letters.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the Dear John letters. Who did you write letters to?
Did not write letters to Hannah. Did not write letters to any of the guys in the house, which by process of elimination in this environment probably leaves only
production.
One group of people.
Did you? So you love the production team and you wanted to say goodbye or something.
So here's the deal. You know, when you're in that environment, it's hard to know who you can trust, right? Mm-hmm. Like the guys are there and you can confide in them. But at the same time, these guys are trying to date the same person that you are or are dating the same person you are. So you can't really tell them all your deep secrets and almost kind of have a therapeutic relationship with them. So I confided in certain people and, you know, that's who I wanted to, you know, express gratitude because they weren't like sob notes. They were like, I really appreciate you being there for me. And if I don't get to say goodbye, just know that, you know, I've enjoyed this opportunity and, you know, bon voyage type of deal.
Did you think you were going to go home?
100%. Because when she, and this did air, when she approached all the guys at the end of the tailgate as we were getting ready to get ready for the cocktail party, she said, you know, something along the lines, do know that if you do get a rose tonight, it's not a pity rose. And she looked me dead in the eye.
So you were like, I'm fucked.
Yeah, I knew. I packed my bags extra tight that night. I didn't have the confidence.
Said goodbye to everybody said goodbye to your bed.
I wasn't like saying bye to all the guys. Like, no, and I was honestly like so in my head and still like, frankly, still so shocked because never in my life had I had a situation where I was vulnerable and talked about something that was like literally life or death for me thrown back into my face like it was. But, you know, I kind of get why Hannah reacted the way she did in the sense that at that moment in time, she had more time and a stronger relationship with Mike than she did with me. So she had to make the conscious decision to believe him over me. Because there are people who could have been looking for a pity rose, but that just wasn't me. But that was her judgment in that point in time.
A couple of the questions were about the puppy that you had to rehome. What kind of puppy was it?
Oh, Draper. Miniature schnauzer. Or no, I'm sorry, a giant schnauzer. I grew up with miniature schnauzers. Okay. My parents had miniature schnauzers. And I didn't want a small dog. I wanted kind of a big dog. But it was important that, you know, he was hyperallergenic.
Okay.
Not because I'm allergic to dogs. I just don't like dealing with dog hair everywhere.
Hair
I'm kind of like OCD.
That's why I have my doggies.
Yeah. I'm no OCD shedding. About, you know, cleanliness. And I just, you know, and I've loved the schnauzer breed in general. And I just, you know, giant schnauzers are kind of like golden doodles. They're just big, dopey, fun loving dogs. And he was a big boy. Like at 10 months old, he already weighed like 85 pounds.
What the?
And at that size, shit. And he was a puller too, like even with the harness. Mm-hmm. And I tried to train him, but I was a very stubborn dog dad and gave in to his puppy eyes. And
well, one,
you know,
day it'll be the time.
Yeah. And the thing is, when I was recovering from surgery, I was like bed rested and couldn't put any weight on my leg for 6 to 8 weeks. So, you know, walking him is something I just couldn't do. And I had to do what was best for him and for me at the time. And fortunately, he found a really good home with a family in College Station.
There were a few comments about your choice of outfit at the final cocktail party.
Oh my God.
The sweatshirt under a blazer. Is that a usual look for you?
That is never a look for me. And so, like, admittedly, I'm 30 years old and I will still to this day, like, have my mom and sister, like, dress me.
Okay.
And before I left, you know, you can only bring 2 suitcases. And, you know, with Bachelorette or Bachelor, you know, you have to assume that you're going to be traveling to, like, cold climates, warm climates. So you have to be very strategic with what you put in your suitcase. And I had a dear friend, and he was also a coworker, who prided himself on having exquisite, you know, fashion taste. And he was even a stylist in LA for many years. And he also came over and wanted to kind of help style me. And so I had like a little sheet of paper. I was writing down different combinations. And that was one
combo.
That was a combo, the hoodie under the blazer, because, you know, I think it may have looked better with jeans, but I think because it was a full suit with the blazer, it looked, like,
I mean, I'm terrible at fashion, so I don't know what would have been better,
though.
But there were just a lot of Twitter comments, and so I had to
even
ask.
Hannah herself tweeted about it.
Oh, she did.
She's been throwing some shade on me.
Well, a lot of your castmates have too. Like, yeah. Tyler C is going ham on you. What's the deal?
I don't know. So like Hannah, like she tweeted like ABC always be crashing dates I'm not invited to. So I'm like the only contestant so far that she's like throwing shade on Twitter, and I'm not even on Twitter. I'm just having buddies send me screen captures. And then the thing that Hannah said about that particular blazer and hoodie attire is like, stylist, what look are you going for tonight? Cam, give me the John Mayer 2003 look.
Shit.
Which I take as a compliment. John Mayer's amazing.
I love him so much. Yeah. I've been trying to get him to marry me for years. Have you ever heard that you look just like the guy from Handmaid's Tale?
I haven't seen that
Mr.
show.
Mr. Waterford?
I haven't seen that
I'm
show.
I'm going to show you his picture. No. You are his twin.
Really?
I mean, he's unfortunately a shit character.
Unattractive?
No, I think he's really beautiful, but okay. He has like a bad character. He's a dick.
Well, you know what I've gotten a lot of, which I think is freaking ridiculous, and he even tweeted about it too, was a younger, sexier Tom Green.
Tracy Prieto said, if he goes on Bachelor in Paradise, I think he will have a happy ending. Is there anyone he is interested in from past seasons?
So it's my understanding for Paradise that it's obviously not just people from, you know, like Colton's season and Hannah's season. It could be anybody. And I find that to be the most fascinating part because, you know, I haven't watched past seasons. So there could be someone on there that I have no preconceived notions.
There could be people from my season.
You're in Ben's season, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know anyone from?
Was Amanda Stanton on your season?
Yeah.
Okay, I remember her.
Would you date Amanda Stanton?
I don't know enough about her, and I don't judge her. That she has a kid, right? Or a couple two kids. Yeah. I think I want to be a parent so bad, like a dad so bad. So I don't judge her for that at all.
She won't go on again because she went on twice and she's over.
She's already been on Paradise twice.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, and she got engaged once
on Paradise to who?
Josh Murray. And that did not go well.
He was the one with Annie Dorfman,
yes.
Right?
Yes. Yeah. I could see you. Have you ever seen Jen Saviano? Hold on.
That's like, is that Italian?
I actually don't know. I'm assuming so. She is so beautiful and single, and she lives in Nashville. Let me show you a picture of her. She's so beautiful. And she's been on before, and she got wronged big time, so they might bring her back. Are you hoping for a redemption?
I mean, yeah. I mean, end of the day, like, I really do want to be married. You know, my parents, they've been married for 36 years. They almost got a divorce recently, but they, you know, revoked it, and they're doing better than ever.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm 30. That's not super old, but it's not super young either. And I would like to not be like the 40-year-old dad, like, where the kids are newborn. Like, I want to still have the energy to, you know, help my wife out at 3 a.m. when she doesn't want to feed and she needs some help. Like, I look forward to like those types of things. I know it's kind of crazy. Like, who would want to change diapers at 3 a.m? But like, I don't know. I just think I'm made to be a dad. And I think it was in Deadpool 2, which is like, why the hell would I reference that? But I think the quote was like, kids give you an opportunity to be a better version of yourself. And I truly do believe that.
He's going to get the next Bachelor baby.
Oh, we'll see.
Lauren and Ari are going to have their baby, and then you're next.
Didn't she just have it?
She gave birth.
Oh,
this, by the way, is recorded on May 29th. So she did give birth today. Okay, last Bachelor in Paradise question. What will you do differently that will give you a better edit? Let's really like strategize here.
I mean, I think that's the issue that I had on The Bachelorette is I overthought things. I was too much in my head, and like normal me just like kind of goes with the flow.
Okay.
Speaks his mind, but also like is respectful of other people. And, you know, I actually do a lot better in group settings. Like, yeah, I love a good one-on-one date. I don't think I've ever had a bad date. Like, I don't have a terrible date story.
That's lovely.
But I think it's just... It seems like it would be a better environment for me to, you know, see other people's relationships develop. And I know that can be kind of contagious when love is in the air. And just the ratio in general, it's not as intense as, you know, 30 guys and one girl.
So you're just going to be in a better atmosphere for you.
always be myself.
Oh, here we go.
Myself. Here, not in third person.
I want you to push your social medias, your anything that you want people to know about. Here is your chance.
All right. So for those of you who are active on the Instagram or the Instacam, as I call it.
Sorry. Just said you would stop doing that literally 30 seconds ago.
I put the hip in hypocrisy. But yeah, Cameron Ayala is my Instagram handle. I think that's also, it's also my Twitter handle, Cameron Ayala, but I don't tweet at all. So if you're going to tweet at me, like, you're speaking to a blank wall. So
is your middle name Ron?
No. My name is Cameron.
What? Okay. So you're just saying Cameron,
like, my name was already, that name was already taken. And it's kind of coincidental because Cameron's the rapper.
So it's spelled with an E.
Yeah. C-A-M-E-R-O-N.
Okay, I was literally wondering that today. Yeah,
it was already taken. Okay. My middle name is Joseph.
Oh, well, there you Joseph. Go, everyone who's wondering.
Yeah. Now, the more you know.
Show Cam some love. Clearly, he's not the villain that we all think he is. Follow him on the things, and I'll see you next week.
Thanks for having me.
Of course.
Appreciate you.
Goodbye. See you on Paradise. Bye.